I am a runner. Or some more specific, lighter word is more apt. A lumberer, perhaps a saunterer. Part of the challenge of having children who are growing older, Ben now at all of 8 3/4, is that they are getting faster and faster. Games of tag or even simple races used to be melodramas in which I pretended to run, letting them win out of my magnanimity. Now I run for my life, trying my very hardest. And at top speed, I am still just a little bit faster than Ben in short spurts. Not for long, but for now. So it was that we were in our backyard this last week playing tag. It was one of those hot days we had recently. We were playing tag, but not just tag. We were playing a crafty version of tag in which, once tagged, the person who was now it had to go stand over the sprinkler for an entire rainbow of spraying. We had set up the sprinkler both to help water the lawn and the gardens and also to cool off and frolic. And I was tagged and was now it and went over to stand in the spray. And ooh, it was cold. The spray was electric and intense and just so cold. And the boys were squealing, and the water was so cold. And the bearded iris, just like we have up here in the center, were blooming. And our peonies as well, 3 colors of peonies. The last gasp of our lilacs, our little piece of the outdoors, was in full refulgence. And as my body was shocked awake, I thought of this poem, one of my favorites, from E. Cummings. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and love and wings and of the gay, great, happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears are awake. Now the eyes of my eyes are opened. I feel like this in the bursting beginning of summer. That we who have died are alive again. One of the reasons I so dearly wanted to return to the correct coast from our exile in the permanently temperate, welcoming wasteland of California. She's out of town, I can be a little. I loved it, but. One of the reasons I wanted to return was that there's this beautiful rhythm of life here. The slowing of fall, the cooling, the raking, the fires and root vegetables, the hearty meal holidays, soups, fresh bread dipped in those soups, and then the cold, the winter, the sweet hibernation, the sledding and snow forts, snow days, long reeds, early dark, slowing, and then that too shifts. And we come back to life. I love working here downtown, and one of the sweetest moments of the year always comes different times, but there's this day, it feels, when people emerge, returning, remembering our bodies. All of a sudden, some warmish day, the sun triumphant and people coming out without a jacket, without gloves, we remerge, we are alive again, and this is a precious thing. I run sporadically all throughout the winter next to the Kachiko, but I definitely return to a greater frequency once the seasons turn. And there's a process to that returning, dusting off the body, stretching, sweating, even the sweet soreness the next morning, feeling myself in a body again. I love my neighbor to one side, an 83-year-old lifelong resident of Dover, who has lived in the same house for over half a century. Around the times that the seasons shift, once the warm comes, she brings out a chair, an unremarkable folding metal chair, and she puts it right out front next to her garage, and she sits in the sun, and I love seeing her there, in part because I love connecting, checking in, hearing probably too much detail about the lives and challenges and occasional triumphs of her children and her many grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. But I love the reminder of her sitting. She is basking, soaking up the warmth of the sun, soaking up our neighborhood and our neighbors, soaking up life. And I think that is the call this morning. In these warming days, in this blossoming summer, bask. Bask in what brings you joy. Bask in your garden. Bask in the sun, in the ocean, in what brings you the deepest and truest of pleasure. The first planting harvest is up in our little garden, and I just recently harvested fresh baby greens, arugula, speckled leopard lettuce, baby collard greens. I harvested into perhaps maybe the best salad that has existed on this earth. And I savored it, the chocolatey, spicy taste of the fresh arugula, the whole salad just vibrant and pulsing with life, harvested just moments before. I remember planting the seeds with Jack, my 6-year-old, just a little while ago. The seeds were so small, and he very carefully poured some into his palm and then very carefully pinched a few between his fingers and planted them very carefully, not noticing that out of the other hand, many, many seeds were pouring into clumps. So when we finally went to go and thin, there were these hilarious clumps of sprouts all gathered together. And I tasted all of his enthusiasm and his love there in this salad. Bask. Know what feeds you, what truly feeds you, what brings you the most joy, and do that. And as you are frolicking, as you are kayaking, reading, snuggling, knitting, painting, singing, hiking, traveling, meeting over tea, savoring delicious meals, do it with your whole self, with your whole awakened self, with the eyes of your eyes opened, with the ears of your ears awake. And this matters. It matters because we need to refill. We need desperately to replenish. Because the work right now is hard. We, people of conscience, grounded in love with service as our prayer, we are full up. We are stretched. The list of what needs to be done is long. Threats to peace and love are real and mounting. Acts of atrocity and violence are ever more frequent. For many of us, the challenges in our own lives, the challenges we wake up to as soon as we open our eyes are daunting, and it is easy to be discouraged. Courage comes from passion and love. Courage comes from connection and joy. And I find right now it is courage that I need. To face the mounting violence and hatred. It is courage I need to love my neighbors especially the ones with Confederate flags festooning their vehicles. Courage is what I need to remember the scent of the world as it may be. Courage I need to be the father of children of color in a racist world. Courage I need to see this world just as it is and respond with wakefulness and care. And so we cultivate this courage. We choose this courage through wakeful living, through savoring. We choose this courage when we steep ourselves, when we ground ourselves in all that makes life worth fighting for. When we cherish this world, this life, these details, the sweetnesses, the pets. I cherish the words and wisdom of Mary Oliver, and I love how she loves her dog. I love our dog, Sadie, in a similar way. She writes, Percy. Our new dog, named for the beloved poet, ate a book, which unfortunately we had left unguarded. Fortunately, it was the Bhagavad Gita, of which many copies are available. Every day now, as Percy grows into the beauty of his life, we touch his wild, curly head and say, "Oh, wisest of little dogs." This is the savoring that I'm talking about. Seeing the sweet little dog having demolished a book, seeing the poetry and beauty in the choice of the book, and seeing the moment in the larger sense, seeing the sweetness and blessing in that kind of moment, being grounded in the powerful love which is there, the powerful love which is so much a part of having a pet. Loving a pet is so singular. In another poem, Oliver writes, "Little dog's rhapsody in the night. He puts his cheek against mine and makes small expressive sounds. And when I'm awake or awake enough, he turns upside down, his four paws in the air, his eyes dark and fervent. Tell me you love me, he says. Tell me again. Could there be a sweeter arrangement? Over and over, he gets to ask. I get to tell." I first wrote the first draft of all these words with both my sweet dog curled up on my toes under the table beneath me and our director of religious education's sweet dog curled up next to that dog. Such fuzzy, wonderful, boundless love. And in the rush and the push of life, I can fly past that boundless, furry love. I can simply take her out, tend to her needs, or I can remember, I can open to her, to this all, to savor her powerful, abiding, omnipresent love, to savor this sweet animal. My children's first pet, my beloved Lauren's longed for first dog, here sitting at my feet, ready to spring into action, ready to run in the woods or lay down on the floor, reposed, receiving snuggles. This is the path of awakening, common as mud. This life, this moment, these details, this savoring, this sweetness, this next poem called A Blessing by James Wright. He writes, just off the highway to Rochester, Minnesota, twilight bounds softly forth on the grass, and the eyes of these two Indian ponies darken with kindness. They've come out of the willows to welcome my friend and me. We step over the barbed wire into the pasture where they've been grazing all day alone. They ripple tensely. They can hardly contain their happiness that we have come. They bow shyly as wet swans. They love each other. There is no loneliness like theirs. At home once more, they begin munching young tufts of spring in the darkness. I'd like to hold the slender one in my arms, for she has walked over to me and nuzzled my left hand. She's black and white. Her mane falls wild on her forehead, and the light breeze moves me to caress her long ear that is delicate as the skin over a wrist. Suddenly I realize that if I stepped out of my body, I would break into blossom. That is what I wish for you all, this summer and always. That the eyes of your eyes awake, that the ears of your ears open, that you break into blossom with your savoring, with your sweet, savoring joy. Amen.